Amen. All right. Well, let's boast on God what he's about to do here and bring forth the word. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst, and we thank you for lives that are being touched. We thank you, Lord, for the captives that are being set free. We thank you for those, the weak who are being strengthened, the sick that are being healed. And, Lord, that the poor are having the word of God preached to them. And, Father, we consider ourselves poor in spirit. We come to your table this morning, and we pray that you would feed us from your abundant harvest. Lord, that you would pour forth today, Lord, an anointing upon this message as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive it, but also our wills to act upon it. Father, we give you thanks for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, continue to move throughout the world. Continue to advance your kingdom. Father, we thank you that we're part of it. We give you praise and glory. Bless this word, we ask. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Well, if you were here last week, you know that Eddie Medrano spoke to us about the Holy Spirit and fire. So I thought today I would continue along that same path and talk about how God wants to build up this fervent fire inside of us. I thought it was funny when Ed told a story last week about the huge fire that we had at our men's advance, if you remember. I had forgotten all about that. And everybody knows I like big fires, especially thanks to Eddie. But the truth is that God is more concerned about fire than I am. And yes, it's true. Somebody's laughing there. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. It was God who somehow revealed to John the Baptist what he wrote, what John wrote, or what was told, what John spoke, I should say, what John spoke in Luke 3:16. He said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come." Obviously talking about Jesus. "The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." In Luke 12:49, Jesus says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled." Even though Jesus knew for that to happen, for that fire to come on the earth, he had to die first. He had to die, then he had to be, go back to heaven so that he could send the Holy Spirit and that fire. So after that happened, after he did die, he went back to heaven, and then he came back and he commanded the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And we all know the rest of the story, and that is that the fire of God then came with the sound of a rushing, violent wind, and the Holy Spirit and that fire was poured out upon all those that were there, and they turned the world upside down because of the fire, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the fire that was in them. So it was God Himself who ordained that there should be this fervent fire burning inside of every one of us who call ourselves a Christian. God planned this, and he made it so that it can happen. Another way that he says the same thing is in Romans 12:11. It says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Now, what does fervent mean? Fervent, that word. It means extremely hot. It means showing great emotion, excited, ardent, glowing, boiling, zealous, passionate, with burning intense heat. That's fervent. I used to work for Great Lakes Steel a long time ago, back in the 70s, and I worked on the coke ovens, and the temperature there was 1,200 degrees where they would take coal and turn it into coke. And sometimes I'd be repairing the walls in there, and my face mask, I had on one of those face shields, and sometimes it would melt. The fire was so hot. I got to see molten steel being poured. You could be 100 feet away and feel that heat. That was fervent heat. That's burning, intense, fervent heat. And God is using that kind of language, that language of this word fervent, to show us the kind of fire that he wants inside of us. Why? Because Hebrews 12:29 tells us that our God is a consuming fire. And if God is a consuming fire and he's living in us, then he expects that there should be fire inside of us. I want you to listen to this definition for word and tell me if you know what word I'm defining. See if anybody can spell out the word, say it out. The definition is the condition of being dwelt in, filled with, or inspired by God. Anybody know what that's a definition for? It's enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. The original Greek, and in the old days, even in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, if you looked up enthusiasm, it said inspired by God or dwelt, indwelt by God. Of course, nowadays, it's just going to say an excitement for something. But originally, that's what it meant. We get enthusiastic about all kinds of things. God created us to be able to be enthusiastic. And he created us in reality to be enthusiastic or passionate about him. He wants this fervent fire inside of us that will burn away anything that is not of him. Anything that tries to get ahead of him, be more important than him. And a fire that will burn with a passion for him. Just like we have a temperature thing like right there. We have a thermostat. That thermostat tells us the temperature of the air in this room. Well, we can measure the temperature of our relationship with God by how enthusiastic or how passionate we are for him. If you want to know how close your relationship is, you wonder, well, am I really that close to God? How on fire are you for God? Is he a sidebar in your life? Or is there real fire for him? We need to examine ourselves and see where we are putting our energy. That fuel. Where are we putting the fuel to build that enthusiasm, to build that fire? Are we putting too much of our time and energy into our work or into making money or running after fun or power or pleasure or other relationships? We should ask ourselves, is God the delight of our heart? Do we delight in him? Do we find pleasure in getting to know God? Is that where we find our pleasure? See, it's when we have pleasure, a stronger desire for pleasure in other things that we get in trouble. When we have our desire and our pleasure in God, it will always draw us closer to him. God wants us to have a hunger to run after him and to seek him and to want to be with him, just as if we had just fallen in love with him. Maybe you remember a time in your life when you had just fallen in love. Maybe it was your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend. And God wants us to have that kind of feeling for him. So he's even given us a warning in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, where he says, yet I hold this against you. That's pretty bad. I mean, he's talking about good things that these people have done, But then he says, but yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first, or you have fallen from the first love. Consider how you have fallen. Repent or turn away and do the things you did at first. So he's trying to tell us to like get back to that place when you were in love with me. Get back to that place where you had a passion for me. Get back to that place where you were excited about me, where you found me and it was wonderful, it was beautiful, it was pleasurable. You took your delight in me. Have we fallen from that intense fire that we had at first for God? Have we maybe gotten into a comfortable stage, a lukewarm stage, maybe even gone on autopilot, or even worse, grown cold? It can happen. It can happen to good people. We just get used to doing the thing. We get into a routine. And so God wants to shake us up and bring us back, get us back to that place to fall in love with Him again. God designed the love that He put in us to be able to keep burning and never grow dim, never go out. But for that to happen, it involves work. It takes a lot of work to keep a fire going. It takes cost. There's a cost involved. I pay a lot of money every winter to buy firewood. Carol and I can easily go through 4 or 5 face cords. That's not out of the ordinary at all. And it's a lot of work when that wood comes to stack it up. It's a lot of work then to bring it inside whenever you want to have a fire. Sometimes you got to clean out the ashes, then you got to stack it up in the fireplace and put the paper in there and light the fire, and then you got to keep it going all night, keep stirring it up and adding more wood. It's work. There's got to be some reason I do it. It's because it's enjoyable. Because we enjoy it. We like it. We like that warmth. We like that the feeling that that fire brings. It's something special. And that's how God wants to be with us. He wants us to have that feeling towards Him. Is having a fervent fire for God inside of us, is it worth it to us as worth it is worth it as it would be to have that fire in a fireplace? Are we willing to put in the work that we need to make it happen? There's a scripture in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. It says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and turn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now that's Old Testament talk. That's, you know, in the temple back in the Old Testament, there were different sacrifices, different offerings. But in the temple there was fire that God never wanted to go out. There were lights that He never wanted to go out. That had to do with temple worship. But now there's a new temple. There's a new temple now. Do you know where that temple is now? Where is it? In us. Yeah. It's in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with that temple. Keep that fire burning. It must not go out. It must be kept burning on the altar continuously. God wants His fire burning in the temple that is us. The benefits are far, far greater than a simple fire in a fireplace. I remember several times in the ministry People have turned to me and said something along this line where they say, you're having way too much fun doing this. I know Bob's even said, I remember Bob saying something like that a couple of times. I know different people that have said, you seem to be having way too much fun, you know, doing that. And I know we've said it to different people. And in the midst of ministry, when God is moving, it's fun. It is. It's fun. And the more intense the ministry, the more fun it is. It's real. Whether it's in worship, you know, we have fun in worship. During the practice, of course, you know, yeah, we're working it out. We're, you know, we're remembering the song. We're dealing with the forgetting this part, doing that. It's too fast, too slow, this and that. Yeah, that's the work part. Then all of a sudden, we get into real worship, and bam, it's totally different. It's fun. Whether it's worship, whether it's praying for someone, deliverance even, ministering the word, getting someone saved, I mean, that's fun. Serving, being the husband, the wife, the friend that God called you to be as we're actually doing it, that's fun. Or just getting hit with the power of God. Any one of those things can bring joy. A joy deep inside of us. A joy that's hard to beat with the things of this world. Not that there's anything wrong with good, clean fun in the world. There's a lot of things we can do that there's nothing wrong with them. There's all kinds of things I enjoy doing. But those things are even more fun when we're walking with God in our life. When we're right with God and enjoying His world, then it's even more fun. Even more joyful. Living our life with the fire of God burning inside of us should make us actually very excited about life. It should. That's why Paul says things like rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. That's how we can have joy in the midst of our trials. Because we know that even though we are going through trials, because we know that life is not one continuous barrel of fun. We all know that. Every Christian should know that. But we can still have joy in the midst of whatever we're going through. Because there's a deeper joy inside of us because of what's inside of us. That's why Jesus tells us in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, or be of good cheer, or be filled with joy, because I have overcome the world. So what he's saying is, yeah, you're going to go through trouble. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. But remember, you got something good coming your way. You got a lot of good coming your way that far, far outweighs any trial, any trouble, any problem you're going to face in this life. So because of that, be filled with joy. When we are in Christ and His fire is inside of us, nothing can defeat us. Nothing can steal our joy. Nothing can rob our... We can give it away. But there's nothing more powerful than God. And if He's in us, nobody can rob us of that. Not even death. Not even death can rob us of our joy when we're walking in Christ. Not even death. We live in times of great distress. Not that it's the only time. There have been many, many times. But we live right now in times of a lot of stress. The world is filled with tension and fear. Sandy was talking about fear. A lot of people are very fearful in these days. There's trouble. There's problems. But here's the thing. We're the ones with the answer. We are the ones with the answer. People talk about how our country is divided. Of course it is. Our country is divided. The world is divided. But it's not Republicans and Democrats. It's not liberals and conservative. It's not black and white or men and women. Those aren't the real issues that divide us. The real issue that divides us is that there's a division between the people who love God and the people who don't. That's the greatest dividing. Well, that's the great chasm that we can't cross without God. And the church, and I don't mean our church like in the building here, I'm talking about the body of Christ, is the only place where we can ever find true unity. That's where all the divisions disappear. That's why he welcomes in every tribe and tongue and nation. There's neither Greek nor Jew nor slave nor free. There is nothing. No divisiveness there in the body of Christ. There shouldn't be. It's the only place in our relationship with Christ, in his body, as we are united with him. That's the first part of this unity. First, we have to be united with him. And then if we're true with him, then there's a unity amongst everything within him. And if we are his body, we're all in him, and then we should be united. It all flows together. So that's the only place where we're ever going to be fulfilled. We're ever going to find true joy, true peace, true unity. So if that's the case, if it's only in him, then why should we get all excited about the things that are in the world when they're not helping us? All they do is bring that division. They keep trying to tear us back away from God. The things of this world try to take our attention, try to take our love, try to pull us away from the things of God. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." God's will, as we saw earlier, is that we would have this fire or passion for him. That's his will. That we would be fired up for him, that we would have this fervent fire burning inside of us, loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Imagine if the sun went out and that big ball of fire up in the sky just fizzled up and burned out. We'd be in a terrible mess. We really would. We'd be in a terrible mess. It wouldn't take long before all life on this planet ceased to exist. Crops would die. No heat. It'd freeze. Our earth would freeze up. We'd all die. It would just be a matter of time. Some people go down underground and try to live for a while, but we would all die. As bad as that sounds, it would be infinitely worse to face eternity and have no fire for God inside of us. Here, we're only facing life on this earth. But there's more to life than what's on this earth. We have an eternity that's waiting for us. All that would be left then would be another fire. If we had no fire of God in us, it would be the fire of judgment. But God's got this fire. He's poured out His Holy Spirit. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. God wants to pour out more and more and more of His fire. He wants to fill us up. He wants us to grow in this relationship. He wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. He wants us to prosper in all ways. He wants us to have an abundant life as we prosper in Him. As this fire is burning in us, as this passion burns in us, then He wants us to have a life that is a passionate life, abundant in all ways. Enjoying everything about life, every good thing. That's the destiny that God had planned for us. So next week I'm going to come back and talk about how we can build up that fire inside of us. How we can take it to the next level. So that it will be a lasting fire that will not only see us through this life, through the trials, through all the things that we go through, but will actually also be a light that will shine and draw others in. Because that's our job. Our job is not just to live for Christ just for ourselves, but to go out into all the world making disciples of all nations, to be that light, to not be hidden under a bushel, but to be a light. So if I could have the prayer team come up. I know Bob talked about somebody or some people that may need prayer for fear. Maybe you also need prayer for this fire to be burning in you, because I'll tell you what, if the fire is burning inside of you, the fear will be burned up. There's no fear in the midst of the power of God. This fire is a powerful thing. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You so, so very much that You have made a way, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit and fire to us here on this earth, that You have made Your Holy Spirit and fire, this passion, available to us, that You have made a way, that You have welcomed us into Your family, into Your body, that You have opened up the door that we might be filled to overflowing with fire from heaven. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up that we might burn brightly for You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We got coffee and donuts upstairs, so please stick around. Great to have you all out today. God bless you.